I think we're stuck in this mold where people think that women today or mothers fall into one of two groups. They're either the type that just love to be around children all the time. That would be the stay-at-home mom group. And then there's the group that just doesn't like to be around children all the time. And that's the working mother group. And I argue that, in fact, these two groups are not even real, that most women are some variation thereof. And, of course, if you look at any job that we do, whether we're whether it's in the marketplace or, you know, yard work, there's going to be bad sides or these, you know, not-so-fun sides of the job, but that doesn't mean you check out of it.
That's Suzanne Venker from an earlier conversation on Issues Etc. this week. We were talking about this article in a London paper where a mother had said her children simply bore her, and that was part of her response to that story. It's one of our sound bites of the week coming up here in 25 minutes on Issues Etc. You can call in about a half hour here if you want to play sound bite of the week and tell us which of our four sound bites is your sound bite of the week and why. Until then, we've got audio open lines, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. The question I want to lay on the table, we're going to hear a little piece from ABC News on the Senate hearings on the Iraqi war that were held today. But I got a question for you, and that is, picking up off our conversation with Dr. Gene Edward Veith in the last half hour, do you think that the Iraqi war, not from our side, not concerning our involvement, but Iraqis fighting Iraqis over what they're calling sectarian violence, is now a full-blown civil war? That's my question for you, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. While we're waiting for you to think that over and give us a call. Oh, by the way, our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. While you're thinking it over and dialing the phone, here's Senate testimony that continued today on the war in Iraq, the latest from ABC News.
With sectarian violence worsening in Iraq, military leaders are now acknowledging that country is on the brink of civil war.
I believe that the sectarian violence is probably as bad as I've seen it. It is possible that Iraq could move towards civil war.
In his first appearance before the Senate Armed Services Committee in 6 months, Rumsfeld reaffirmed the military's commitment to stabilize Iraq.
I remain confident in our mission, in our commanders, in our troops, and in our cause.
Rumsfeld initially declined to appear at this morning's hearing, but made a dramatic reversal after drawing fire from top Democrats. His appearance comes the same week the Pentagon announced it's extending the tours of duty of at least one brigade and raising troop levels in Iraq to roughly 135,000. The Bush administration had hoped to begin a drawdown by this fall, but with an average of 100 civilians dying each day in Baghdad alone, military leaders say securing the capital is priority number one.
This will not be easy. This will not be quick.
But committee members questioned whether increasing troop numbers would quell the violence.
How much more do we really expect our military can do?
And asked whether he had foreseen the worsening situation, the top U.S. military officer had this sobering answer.
General Pace, you said there's a possibility of the situation in Iraq evolving into civil war. Did you anticipate this situation a year ago?
No, sir.
Eric Hong, ABC News.
All right, there's the story for you. Your general thoughts on the Iraqi war. I've laid the question on the table. Do you think it is civil war? But your broader thoughts on the war in Iraq, Christians can and, of course, do disagree on a whole number of issues surrounding the war in Iraq. 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. It's Open Lines, Issues, Etc. this Thursday, August the 3rd. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, Dr. Veith, when we talked to him a few minutes ago, was unwilling to say this is civil war, but he said, pretty much as the testimony we heard on Capitol Hill say, well, it could certainly go that direction, but he was able to give us some insights into, beyond just civil war, what might be behind the what they're calling the sectarian violence in Iraq. What do you think about the war in Iraq now? We always reassess, don't we? I mean, we wouldn't be very smart if we didn't constantly reassess our activities in the world. What do you think about it now? Has your mind changed since we've seen what can only be described as a pretty serious escalation of violence, especially in Baghdad, Muslim-on-Muslim violence. Has your mind changed at all? You still either formally for or against? If your mind has changed, what has changed it? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. While you're thinking about that, here's something else. There's a gay marriage advocates, of course, out there in the nation. They're regrouping after their latest defeat. Proponents of gay marriage are weighing in their opinions after a surprising defeat before the Washington State Supreme Court. We'll hear more about this from National Public Radio.
Proponents of gay marriage are weighing their options following a surprising defeat before the Washington State Supreme Court. That decision was the second in recent weeks upholding a statewide ban on gay marriage. New York State's highest court reached a similar conclusion earlier, in July. Opponents of gay marriage say the decision will push the debate into state legislatures. But as NPR's Larry Abramson reports, gay rights advocates are not planning any change in their strategy.
For groups opposing legalization of gay marriage, the message of the New York and Washington state decisions is clear.
These cases mark the end of the road.
Robert Destro is with the Marriage Law Project at Catholic University. Destro says these decisions will push the debate into the laps of lawmakers, and that will encourage a public debate about the morality of gay marriage.
That's actually going to happen now, more that the courts are out of it than would have been if the courts had crammed it down everybody's throat like they did in Massachusetts.
Massachusetts is, of course, the first and only state high court to approve gay marriage. The 2003 decision was depicted by many gay rights supporters as the crest of a wave that would sweep over other states. Instead, Massachusetts stands alone, while the number of states passing anti-gay marriage amendments has grown to 20, and four more face a vote in November. But Mary Bonato of Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders, or GLAAD, says she can't afford to give up on state courts.
In any justice struggle like this one, you have to ask, or really prod, all three branches of government, as well as the American people, to see past spin and past their fear and past their discomfort to really get at the truth.
Gay marriage supporters are awaiting decisions in New Jersey and California courts. Victories there, they say, could turn the momentum back their way. Mary Bonato says the ban on interracial marriage faced similar ups and downs.
You know, there were 19 court losses before a California Supreme Court in a 4-3 decision said that these bans were wrong. It took 19 years for the Supreme Court to follow through
and end those bans nationwide in 1967. Gay rights supporters who take that long view say polls are slowly moving in their direction, but surveys show that most Americans still oppose legalization. To that, John Davidson of Lambda Legal says this issue should not be based solely on public opinion.
If you want to marry somebody, you don't normally have to go knock on every door in your neighborhood to ask for your intended's hand in marriage for the permission of all of your neighbors to be able to engage in marriage.
That's why gay rights advocates initially thought the courts, rather than state legislatures, would be the best venue to make that argument that this debate is about a civil right.
And that argument is something that millions of Americans, by passing these marriage amendments, simply don't agree with.
David Lawrence of the Arizona-based Alliance Defense Fund says the New York and Washington state decisions show that the two courts viewed marriage as an institution that state governments have every reason to regulate.
But this whole argument that this is not a redefinition of marriage, but merely marriage equality, is something that the Mormon polygamists could have argued 150 years ago.
The New York and Washington decisions stress that government has a legitimate reason to encourage people to raise their children in the context of a traditional marriage. John Davidson of Lambda Legal is confident that reasoning will eventually fall because it's based on prejudice, not on legal principles.
What we contest is how does limiting marriage to different sex couples further that? That is, that explains why you allow different-sex couples to get married. It doesn't explain why you don't allow same-sex couples to get married.
Davidson and others note that the Washington state decision was 5-4, so it may take little to push judges in other states in the other direction. Larry Abramson, NPR News, Washington.
All right, there's a story from National Public Radio on gay marriage. It looks like Massachusetts going for full legalized gay marriage might, in the long run, turn out to be, in the long run, I say, the best thing that happened to the opponents of gay marriage ever. Think about it. This has, it appears, at least from the fallout and the various votes in all the states, it appears as though Massachusetts going for full legalized gay marriage, even the way they did, has been the wake-up call for all the other states to stand up and oppose it. Far from being that crest of the wave that was going to sweep over the nation, it has proved, at least for the time being, to spark something of a counter-wave. What do you think? It's Audio Open Lines Issues, Etc. this Thursday, the 3rd of August. Our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. In about 15 minutes, we're going to play Soundbite of the Week here on Issues, Etc. We've got four soundbites. All through the week, we've been collecting them, and we're going to play them for you, 1, 2, 3, 4, and ask you, which is your Soundbite of the Week, and why. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727 are our call-in numbers. Are you like me, where when it comes to the war in Iraq, you simply think about it as little as possible? I don't know how many times I've caught myself when the news comes on about the war in Iraq on television. Don't watch a lot of television news, but when I'm watching it, when the news comes up on about the television news in Iraq, I find something else to watch. I'm just being honest with you. And when I hear about it on the radio, which is more often than not, I start switching around. And I don't know if there's I haven't sat down and psychologized myself on this, but is it fatigue? You know, they talk about news cycle fatigue. Is it fatigue about the story? I'm tired of the story? Or is it that I don't want to think about the situation that it is? Is it simple denial? Now, my interest in the war in Iraq was very keen when I had that personal stake in it, and who wouldn't be? I had a brother who was over there for a year, so I was devouring everything I could about the war in Iraq by way of news. A lot has changed from the first news where we were watching Saddam Hussein's statue come down. We were watching Baghdad being taken in pretty handily, at least in the first stage. When we were talking about little to no resistance in most of the country, the fighting in the south was pretty much taken care of without terrible trouble. And we came out of the first part of the war relatively unscathed. Now, you might argue also we're relatively unscathed to this day. Yes, relative to other wars that we fought, certainly. But the situation has turned nasty. I don't think anyone would say it's, it was just, how long ago was it? A couple months ago, or at least a month ago, where the president was publicly complaining that the news media didn't talk about the good news coming from Iraq. Well, there certainly is good news when you have 100 people a week dying in Baghdad because of sectarian violence. Some people are calling it civil war. It's hard for what good news there is to get through because there is legitimately bad news coming out of there. Give us a call with your thoughts on the war in Iraq. Christians do disagree. They can disagree on this issue. So don't be afraid to give us a call. There's no real right or wrong answer. I just want your general thoughts. Have your mind changed one way or the other on the war in Iraq? Are you like, I sense this from Dr. Veith, and I think I probably have the same viewpoint on this. It's merely an opinion, by the way, that while we have to be there, I'm not as sure as I was 3 years ago on whether we should be there. I'm just being honest, and it's only my opinion. I think we need to be there, given the fact that we are there, but I'm not as sure why we are there. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Here's an interesting little story from Fox News titled, Bible Behind Bars.
It looks and sounds like a church. But this is inside Minnesota's Lena Lakes prison. The worshipers, burglars, rapists, and murderers.
I just needed to have some stability, some solid ground. underneath me.
Lord. The daily worship service is part of a controversial prisoner rehabilitation program called the Interchange Freedom Initiative.
To try to make sure that prisoners, when they come out of prison, can be productive members of society.
Daily prayer and gospel study are part of the regimen. Also, inmates in the program are housed separately, away from the rest of the prison population, with their own classrooms, computers, and auditoriums.
All of this costs taxpayers money, and this money should not be used to further a conversion effort to Christianity or any other faith.
Americans United for the Separation of Church and State won a lawsuit against a similar program in Iowa run by the same organization. But the Iowa version also granted privileges to participating inmates, like the possibility of early release from prison. Minnesota's version comes without that perk. Even so, the state corrections commissioner had her own initial misgivings about the interfaith program.
I really was skeptical about bringing in a faith-based program. I also was concerned about the division between church and state.
But after careful review, Fabian believes Minnesota runs the program constitutionally and effectively. Just 2 of 55 program graduates have been sent back to prison. And next year, the commissioner's expanding the program to a women's prison. The Interchange Freedom Initiative is also expanding, moving its faith-based program into the Missouri prison system in 2007. Steve Brown, Fox News.
I don't know about you, but that's not what I pictured when I pictured faith-based initiatives a couple years ago. We were talking about reaching out to the poor and taking care of unwed mothers and all that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of concern about the overlap of the religious mission of some of these efforts with their social welfare mission. And maybe it was just the sound bites that they were playing and the clips they were playing in that piece, but it sounded as more like a religious rally than a religiously based program for inmates. And it is taxpayer dollars that are going there. Now, if you say, look, hey, they're getting Jesus in prison, and believe me, I got nothing against that. But put yourself in the other guy's shoes for a second here. If this were a Mormon-based initiative, and they were winning people over for Joseph Smith and the Latter-day Saints, and you were paying for it with your state tax dollars for the local state prison, what would you think about it? It's audio, open lines, issues, etc. Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. You know, I'm presuming from the lack of response to the question on the war in Iraq that at least our audience just doesn't want to think about it anymore. Is your mind changed? I told you before, mine certainly has. My position is far less certain than it was 3 years ago. What about you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for August is called Luther's World of Thought. What it does is explore Luther's thought beyond his theology, but it does not leave Luther's theology behind. The book is $29.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information about Luther's World of Thought, Our Issues, Etc., book of the month for August, you can either call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can visit our website, issuesetc.org. Look on the homepage for Our Issues, Etc., book of the month for August, called Luther's World of Thought. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to play Soundbite of the Week. Before we get there, let's talk with Susan, who listens in Tupelo, Mississippi. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
What's your question or comment?
Well, I was glad to hear what you had to say about your feelings about the war in Iraq. I sort of feel the same way, in that I also turn off the news or turn the channel, avoid discussions of it. I do like to hear people who are still gung-ho on the war, because I'm thinking maybe it's the fault is with me. Maybe I'm getting weak-kneed. But I think I turn it off because I know what I'm going to hear. I know I'm not going to hear anything encouraging, and that if there is something encouraging or something good going on, we're not going to hear it. So I feel like I'm only going to hear one side, so I don't want to hear that.
Well, I think you probably reflect a fair number of people, especially people who initially support the war,
right,
on that very issue. Thank you very much, Susan, and thanks
for
the call. No, think about this. Think about this. If you have become convinced over time that, as the president had complained a couple of weeks ago, the good news coming out of Iraq isn't getting reported, then when you hear the latest report on the war in Iraq, you say, well, look, all we're hearing is the bad side. Why do I want to hear more of that? I know that there are bad things happening. Now, from a news standpoint, it's hard. You know, people say, well, which do you report? 90 people dead in 1 week in Baghdad, or the rebuilding of a power plant or a water desalinization facility in the southern part of the country? Which one is going to catch people's attention? You understand how that works, don't you? For me, I think it's a combination of what she was talking about, fatigue, and a lack of certainty about whether or not we belong there. Not that whether we should stay there, because I think everyone agrees we obviously have to, but whether or not we belong there. And I'll be honest with you. I was one of those 3 years ago who, if you would have asked me, is your mind going to change on this if we stay 3 years? I would have told you no. I would have told you my mind's made up, and as long as it takes, it's going to take. And you know what? If they came out of one thing out of that Senate hearing this afternoon, it was, this is going to be hard, and this is going to take a long time. When we come back from this break, issues, etc., soundbite of the week. Well, if you're curious about what you're going to hear in the next half hour during soundbite of the week, here's one of our entries.
This teaching of the rapture, it does two things. It either produces anxiety, which pushes towards despair, or, on the other hand, it can produce a false comfort. I knew some of that anxiety, but I've heard a number of reports of the false comfort. And the way that this teaching of the secret rapture will give this false comfort is that people think that they have a second chance, that they know that, well, Jesus will, the rapture will occur, and if that happens, then I'll know that Jesus is really the Lord, and then I will trust His promises. And so I don't need to be baptized. I don't need to trust the Scriptures. I don't need to do any of these things until I see the proof that they're true in the rapture. And so there's this false comfort of I'll see it, and then I've got another 7 years to straighten things out before the judgment comes.
All right, that's soundbite number three, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, on the rapture and the false comfort that the teaching of the secret rapture holds for many people. When we come back, we'll play soundbite of the week. We're going to play them, well, as we come out of the break, you'll hear the fourth soundbite, and then we're going to back up and do 1, 2, 3, 4, our soundbite choices for the week, and we want to know from you which is your soundbite of the week. So get ready to call 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Emailers, I told you last time, I'm going to tell you again, email soon. We get done with soundbite of the week, I go down to my office, and I find people emailing their votes to me an hour after the show is over, so you got to email soon. It's not as instantaneous as it always appears. Then after Soundbite of the Week in the third hour, Kelly Monroe Kohlberg is going to join us from the Veritas Forum to talk about Christianity in the university, and Pastor Todd Jerebek will join us in the last half hour to talk about role-playing games. Stay tuned. Soundbite of the Week is next.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. Listening to Issues, Etc.
Pastor Chad Bird, Associate Professor of Old Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why you should consider scheduling a visit to their campus today.
The church is always in need of pastors to preach the gospel and to administer the sacraments. And so we love to have any men who are interested visit our campus, learn what goes on here, sit in on classes, get a feel for what it's like to attend the seminary, and to consider the ministry as a calling in order that God might be served in the preaching of His Word and the giving of His gifts.
To schedule an on-campus visit at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, call them toll-free 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or go to our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Concordia Theological Seminary logo.
Did you know that there are thousands of young children in the St. Louis area who need help with their reading skills? If you are age 50 or older, love to work with children, and have an hour a week to spare, you're qualified to help those students as an OASIS tutor, mentor, and friend. Training materials and ongoing support are provided by school districts throughout the St. Louis City and County, St. Charles, and Jefferson counties. To see how you can help a child in a school near you, call the OASIS Tutoring Program today.
Listen to Living Jubilee with Paul Clayton and Diane Summers weekday mornings at 11:05 on AM 850 KFUO Clayton, St. Louis.
He was an original member of the Committee of Secret Correspondents, gathering intelligence to help the American colonists rebel against Great Britain. Known by the code number 72, he used sophisticated spycraft. This 18th century James Bond was none other than Benjamin Franklin. See Benjamin Franklin, In Search of a Better World. It's $12 for adults, $10 for seniors and students, and $5 for children ages 6 through 12, now through September 4th at the Missouri History Museum, Lindale at the Bolivar in Forest Park.
You can delve into the mind of 16th century reformer Martin Luther with our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, titled Luther's World of Thought. How did Luther's mentors and teachers influence him? How did the European class system and political climate help and hinder his reforming efforts? Find out with Luther's World of Thought. For more information, 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org. Luther's World of Thought, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Hi, this is Dr. Bill Meyer with the James Dobson Family Minute. Do you rely on food to make you feel happy? My colleague Dr. Dobson comments on the emotional connection that some of us have with food.
You know, you get an A in something, you come home and share a great report card. Well, let's have a picnic. You take a vacation. It's centered around food. Everything that makes you happy is associated with food. When you try to cut back on all that, you're not only eliminating calories and things that you enjoy eating, you're cutting yourself off from that emotional support. That gets a lot of people in trouble, and it has me through the years.
If you find yourself eating for emotional reasons, it's time to stop. Unhealthy eating habits can harm both your mind and your body. A family physician or licensed counselor can help you deal with this issue. If you'd like more information about eating and eating disorders, check out our website at troubledwith.com.
Well, it's a high dose of the birth control pill, and the birth control pill requires a prescription. Because if women have medical conditions, they will not be given a prescription for a low dose of the drug. It's too dangerous for them. And what the FDA is considering doing is unprecedented. Never has the FDA approved that a high dose of a drug be available without a prescription when a low dose of that same drug requires a prescription.
All right, that's Wendy Wright of Concerned Women for America. It's soundbite number four. She's talking there about the unprecedented move of the FDA this week to consider again offering the morning after pill, so-called Plan B, without a prescription. She says, does it ever make any sense to say the low dose of a drug requires a prescription, but an unbelievably high dose of the same drug could be offered over the counter without one? One of the subjects we covered here on Issues Etc. this week, and one of our soundbites of the week, it's soundbite number four. It's time to play soundbite of the week. We've got four for you. If you've been listening off and on during the course of the day already, you've heard them, but we're going to let you hear them again. And this is how it works. You hear the soundbite, and we let you listen to all four, and then after you've listened to them, you choose which one is your soundbite of the week. It doesn't mean that you agree with the soundbite. It doesn't mean that you find the soundbite necessarily appealing. It could be something appalling rather than appealing. It could be something with which you disagree. It could be something with which you do agree. But for whatever reason, it is, you're sitting there, it is the one that stands out to you as the soundbite of the week for Issues Etc. as a listener. Listeners with the best comments get an Issues Etc. travel mug. You play by giving us a call, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. You can also email us with your vote. But remember, emailers, email is not as fast as they tell you it is. Sometimes it takes a little while for the email to get through and for us to get it. So even though we get it here in the studio, it's not always instantaneous. Email early, issues etc. at kfuo.org. When you email, by the way, not only tell us which soundbite you're voting for, but why. Why? And we'll read your comment on the air when it comes in. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc at kfuo.org. Let's play soundbite of the week. Here's number one. This is Dr. David Adams. We were talking with him Sunday night on the nationally syndicated edition of Issues Etc. about the death penalty, but what came up was the relationship between the Old and the New Testaments. He says, this is the most important thing for you to know about that.
This is one of the most, perhaps the most important thing that Christians have to understand about the relationship between the Old and the New Testament. Christ has fulfilled the Old Testament. Now, you're talking to an Old Testament guy here. I refer to the New Testament simply as the appendix. Because
tongue-in-cheek, of course.
Tongue-in-cheek, of course. But the bottom line is, Christ has fulfilled the whole law. And I believe what St. Paul says here at the beginning of chapter 5 of the book of Galatians, that if we as Christians submit ourselves to the Old Testament law, that is tantamount to denying Christ and saying that what Christ did is of no effect for us.
What about just that bare minimum, the Ten Commandments?
Nope. God's fulfilled them. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't do them, because they still teach us what is pleasing to God. But they do not; they are not a burden for us to be fulfilled. Christ has fulfilled them for us.
That's Pastor David Adams, Dr. David Adams, on the relationship of the Old and the New Testament. Soundbite number one this week on Issues Etc. Is it your soundbite of the week? 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. By the way, you can hear the entire two-hour interview with Dr. David Adams on the issue of the death penalty, capital punishment, tomorrow on Issues Etc. Here's soundbite number two. Regular guest Suzanne Venker, author of the book Seven Myths of Working Mothers. And she's talking about mothers who find motherhood boring and tedious.
Right now, I think we're stuck in this mold where people think that women today or mothers fall into one of two groups. They're either the type that just love to be around children all the time. That would be the stay-at-home mom group. And then there's the group that just doesn't like to be around children all the time, and that's the working mother group. And I argue that, in fact, these two groups are not even real, that most women are some variation thereof. And, of course, if you look at any job that we do, whether we're whether it's in the marketplace or, you know, yard work, there's going to be bad sides or these, you know, not-so-fun sides of the job, but that doesn't mean you check out of it.
All right, that's soundbite number two from Suzanne Venker earlier this week on mothers who find motherhood tedious. Of course, it was occasioned by a piece in a London newspaper from a mother who said she finds her children boring, and she pays nannies and other daycare workers to take care of her kids, organize the birthday parties, go to the birthday parties, and that was Suzanne Venker's response. Is that your soundbite of the week? It's number two. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc at kfuo.org. Here's soundbite number three. You heard it just a moment ago if you were tuned in. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller talking about the false comfort of the teaching of the so-called secret rapture.
This teaching of the rapture, it does two things. It either produces anxiety, which pushes towards despair, or on the other hand, it can produce a false comfort. I knew some of that anxiety, but I've heard a number of reports of the false comfort, and the way that this teaching of the secret rapture will give this false comfort is that people think that they have a second chance, that they know that, well, the rapture will occur, and if that happens, then I'll know that Jesus is really the Lord, and then I will trust His promises. And so I don't need to be baptized. I don't need to trust the Scriptures. I don't need to do any of these things until I see the proof that they're true in the rapture. And so there's this false comfort of
I'll see it, and then I've got another 7 years to straighten things out before the judgment comes.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller recently on the program. That soundbite number 3, is it your soundbite of the week? Give us a call, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. We also have that in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Here's our fourth and final soundbite for your consideration. As we play Soundbite of the Week, it comes from Wendy Wright, President of Concerned Women for America. We were talking about the morning after pill. What is it, and what is the FDA proposing, thinking about doing with the so-called Plan B pill?
Well, it's a high dose of the birth control pill, and the birth control pill requires a prescription. Because if women have medical conditions, they will not be given a prescription for a low dose of the drug. It's too dangerous for them. And what the FDA is considering doing is unprecedented. Never has the FDA approved that a high dose of a drug be available without a prescription when a low dose of that same drug requires a prescription.
All right, that's Wendy Wright of Concerned Women for America. It's soundbite number 4. Is it your soundbite of the week? We started with Dr. David Adams, soundbite number 1, talking about the proper relationship of the Old Testament to the New Testament in Christ's fulfillment of the Old. Suzanne Venker was soundbite number 2, commenting on mothers who find motherhood boring and tedious. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller was soundbite number 3, talking about the false comfort of the teaching of the secret rapture. And Wendy Wright, you just heard her from Concerned Women for America on what the morning after pill is and what the FDA is proposing we do with it. Which is your soundbite of the week? Best callers with the best comments and reasons for picking their soundbite of the week get an Issues Etc. travel mug. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And you can also email us as well, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Up first playing soundbite of the week is Frank in Las Vegas. Hi, Frank.
Yes, Pastor. I liked all 4 of the soundbites, but I'm going to have to go with number 1, Dr. David Adams. My studies have shown me how critical it is to see that Scripture is about Jesus Christ as he testifies himself in the New Testament. The old saying that the new is in the old concealed and the old is in the new revealed, that's so important. It's so critical in terms of all the Christian doctrines across the board. Soundbite 3 about the rapture, things of this nature, all of that would tend to be better understood if they understood exactly what Dr. David Adams is talking about in his soundbite.
Actually, that's a great point, Frank. Thank you very much. Yes, I mean, the soundbite number 3 is on the false comfort of the rapture. And were the dispensationalists reading Christ as the fulfillment of the Old Testament rather than the other way around, kind of? Well, they probably would not sit under the false comfort or the despair of the teaching of the secret rapture. So that's Frank's vote. Number 1, Dr. David Adams. That's his soundbite of the week. And he told us why. Which is yours? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Calling from Arlington Heights, Illinois. Mildred is on the line. Hi, Mildred.
Hi.
Which is yours, Mildred?
Mine is the last one. Wendy Wright, morning after pill.
And why so?
There are dangers associated with hormonal treatment in young women that will show up later in their lives. And it is very, very dangerous to make available a pill like that over the counter.
Can you figure out, Mildred, how it is that the FDA would permit or think of permitting a high dose of a drug over the counter while requiring that the low dose of the drug be a prescription?
No, I can't figure out. It's got to be more than just logic. There's either money involved or something else going on. Maybe politics, but...
Maybe. Mildred, thank you so much, and thanks for listening up near Chicago. What about the rest of you? Which is your soundbite of the week? We've got 1 vote for Dr. David Adams, soundbite number 1, and 1 vote on the other end for Wendy Wright, soundbite number 4. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You can vote via the email. Just email us early, because we generally get about as many votes via email after the show as we do during the show. Issues ETC at kfuo.org. Is it number one, Dr. David Adams, on the relationship of the Old Testament to the New Testament? Is it Suzanne Venker on Mothers Who Find Motherhood Boring? Is it Pastor Brian Wolfmiller on the false comfort and the so-called second chance of the secret rapture? Or is it Wendy Wright on the morning after pill? Coming up in the third hour of the program, in just about 15 minutes, Kelly Monroe Kohlberg will join us from the Veritas Forum. She's author of the best-selling Finding God at Harvard. I'm sorry, she's the editor of that book, and she's author of a new book titled Finding God Beyond Harvard. We'll talk about Christianity at the university, and we'll also turn to the subject of role-playing games with Pastor Chad Jerebek in the last half hour of Issues, etc. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's start again with Catherine calling from her car. Hi, Catherine. Which is your soundbite of the week?
Hi. Well, I have to say that all of them are very good. It's a difficult decision, but I think as a mother, I may have to go with number two, because I think that as a mother, whether you stay home or whether you work, you feel that dichotomy every day. You know, some days you're really happy where you are, and some days you kind of wish you could get away. And it doesn't help any when people are constantly judging you for feeling one way or the other.
Right. The woman who says, my kids are driving me crazy, or the woman who says, I love staying at home, you're going to catch it either way.
Yes, exactly. And I think all women have to some degree. And it's harder, much harder when someone's out there saying, how can you say that? How can you say that?
Catherine, thank you very much. Hers is soundbite number two, Suzanne Venker on Mothers Who Find Motherhood Tedious. Catherine says, well, you know, as Suzanne did, mothers occasionally do. All mothers do. That's no reason, as she said, to check out. Here's Bob calling from his car. Hi, Bob.
Hi, I vote for Wolfmiller.
All right, that's soundbite number three. Why so?
I just thought it was a genuinely good comment right out of the scratch. I thought he pointed out well the false dichotomy in following that teaching.
Thank you very much, Bob. So he's voting for number three. That gives us a four-way tie, one vote each for Dr. David Adams on the relationship of Old and New Testaments, Suzanne Venker on motherhood being boring, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller on the false comfort of the secret rapture teaching, and Wendy Wright on the morning after pill. Let's go to the phones again. Jean in St. Louis County. Hi, Jean.
Hi. I would vote for number four. Not that I necessarily agree with it, but I think it's certainly an interesting topic, and I know somebody said, why would you get the stronger one without a prescription? Well, I think it's for people who, you know, just didn't know they were going to have sex, and they, you know, I just need to get, can't go to the doctor, they want to catch it real fast or something like that. That's what I would assume it would be for.
I think that's how they're going to market it, definitely. Thank you very much, Jean. Well, look, that's the whole gap in logic here that Wendy was pointing out in that fourth soundbite. She's saying, look, if the FDA, whose task is, by the way, to regulate the availability and the sale of drugs, among other things, if the FDA requires a prescription for a low dose, why don't they require a prescription for a high dose? It's not really an issue of who wants it for what reason. The issue is, will the FDA be consistent? Think about it this way. Nowadays, you can go and buy allergy medicine that used to be prescription only. I take Claritin when my allergies are acting up, and it wasn't too many years ago that whatever that drug is, I don't know the technical name, was a prescription drug, an antihistamine. Now, if I were to sell super antihistamine, not the little tiny thing that I take every 24 hours, but some big horse pill to knock out something else, and I said, this should be over the counter, while that little pill should be prescription, it doesn't make any sense. If there are cautions that require a prescription at a low dose, there are certainly cautions that would require a prescription for the high dose, which is the morning after pill. And the morning after pill is not only an issue of dose, it's an issue of what does it do. There's a pretty good chance that taken late after unprotected sex, it doesn't just act as a contraceptive, it's an abortifacient. It causes a chemical, a physiological abortion. That's the concern there. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We're playing Soundbite of the Week so far. Soundbite number four is in the lead. Now, what happened last time we played Soundbite of the Week? Do you remember? We had a firm lead by one of our soundbites, and then in the last few minutes, I think it was Vicar Charles Layman soundbite from his sermon, suddenly caught up. He didn't win, but he suddenly caught up. And then I went down to my office, and lo and behold, what did I find? At least two or three email votes for Vicar Charles Layman. He would have won soundbite of the week if everybody played early and often. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Here's one via our email, issuesetc@kfuo.org. It comes from Karen in Wyoming. She says, I'm hoping that I'm getting this in on time. Yes, you are. I'm going to vote for all the mommies out there. Suzanne Venker's comment, being a mommy is the dullest job I would never give up, she says. Mothers who understand that all of life is not entertaining probably have their children's ears at a Lutheran church every Sunday morning. Good point. Good point. Not that Lutheran worship is boring, she says. No, sometimes it is. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. It's kind of like motherhood or fatherhood. Sometimes the mundane, the banal, is the best thing in the world for you. Alan calls from Trenton, Illinois. Hi, Alan.
Hi. I'd like to vote for Dr. Adams, number one, in that he proclaims the gospel that Christ fulfilled the law for us transgressors, and that's the part that's usually left out in most pulpits.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you very much, and that's a good reason for voting for soundbite number one, Dr. David Adams. Let's hear that one again, if we could. This is Dr. David Adams. We were talking about another subject, but a call occasioned him setting the record straight on the relationship of the Old and New Testaments.
This is one of the most, perhaps the most important thing that Christians have to understand about the relationship between the Old and the New Testament. Christ has fulfilled the Old Testament. Now, you're talking to an Old Testament guy here. I refer to the New Testament simply as the appendix. Because
tongue-in-cheek, of course.
Tongue-in-cheek, of course. But the bottom line is, Christ has fulfilled the whole law. And I believe what St. Paul says here at the beginning of chapter 5 of the book of Galatians, that if we as Christians submit ourselves to the Old Testament law, that is tantamount to denying Christ and saying that what Christ did is of no effect for us.
What about just that bare minimum, the Ten Commandments?
Nope. God's fulfilled them. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't do them, because they still teach us what is pleasing to God. But they do not, they are not a burden for us to be fulfilled. Christ has fulfilled them for us.
All right, that's Dr. David Adams, soundbite number one. While we're at it, let's hear soundbite number two. This one has two votes. So does Dr. David Adams. Suzanne Venker on Mothers Who Find Motherhood Tedious.
Right now, I think we're stuck in this mold where people think that women today or mothers fall into one of two groups. They're either the type that just love to be around children all the time. That would be the stay-at-home mom group. And then there's the group that just doesn't like to be around children all the time, and that's the working mother group. And I argue that, in fact, these two groups are not even real, that most women are some variation thereof. And, of course, if you look at any job that we do, whether we're whether it's in the marketplace or, you know, yard work, there's going to be bad sides or these, you know, not-so-fun sides of the job. But that doesn't mean you check out of it.
All right, Suzanne Venker, soundbite number two. Here's soundbite number three. We'll go back to the phones after we're done. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller on the false comfort of the secret rapture.
This teaching of the rapture, it does two things. It either produces anxiety, which pushes towards despair, or on the other hand, it can produce a false comfort. I knew some of that anxiety, but I've heard a number of reports of the false comfort, and the way that this teaching of the secret rapture will give this false comfort is that people think that they have a second chance, that they know that, well, Jesus will, the rapture will occur, and if that happens, then I'll know that Jesus is really the Lord, and then I will trust His promises. And so I don't need to be baptized. I don't need to trust the Scriptures. I don't need to do any of these things until I see the proof that they're true in the rapture. And so there's this false comfort of I'll see it, and then I've got another 7 years to straighten things out before the judgment comes.
That's soundbite number three, and here's soundbite number four. Wendy Wright on the morning after pill in the FDA.
Well, it's a high dose of the birth control pill, and the birth control pill requires a prescription because if women have medical conditions, they will not be given a prescription for a low dose of the drug. It's too dangerous for them. And what the FDA is considering doing is unprecedented. Never has the FDA approved that a high dose of a drug be available without a prescription when a low dose of that same drug requires a prescription.
All right, that's Wendy Wright. It's soundbite number 4. Which is yours? We only have a few more minutes here, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727, playing soundbite of the week. And our email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Ellen is calling from Chesterfield. Hi,
hello.
Ellen.
Hello, Pastor Wilkin. See, the one about motherhood, the more I thought about it, I'm a senior citizen. Well, I have known a lot of senior citizens. Well, women especially, when we're left widows, and some of these women who never were blessed with children, I look back and I am so very, very thankful that I have had those blessed, boring moments of changing diapers, and because the blessings that have come back to me cannot be measured.
Ellen, thank you very, very much. We ought to have Ellen on next time. We want to talk about the boring and the tedium of motherhood. Yeah, those kids might come in handy at some point in the future, and you might actually end up treasuring those moments that when you were going through them, you thought were so very boring. Well, as the count stands now going into this break, Dr. David Adams got 2 votes for the relationship of the Old Testament and New Testament. Suzanne Venker came out on top with 3 votes for mothers who find motherhood boring. Pastor Brian Wolf Miller had 1 vote. False Comfort of the Secret Rapture, and Wendy Wright had 2 on the FDA and the Morning After Pill. And I want to send an Issues Etc. travel mug out to 4 of our callers because we had great callers. Okay, yes, we just won't give them away next time. Definitely to Ellen, starting with the E, Ellen, not to be confused also with Alan. Both of you give us a call back, Alan and Ellen, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Karen gets 1. I like the way she thinks about motherhood, too. She emailed us and just sent us your contact information. We'll send you out a travel mug. And Catherine called about 3rd in line there, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Thanks to everybody for playing Soundbite of the Week. When we come back, it's difficult, at least, to be a Christian, sometimes even to remain a Christian, in the university. Kelly Monroe Kohlberg is going to join us to talk not only about finding God at Harvard, but also finding God beyond Harvard. She edited the first book, and she's authored the second book. We'll talk about that on the other side of this break. And then Pastor Todd Jerebek will join us, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Embarrass and St. Peter Lutheran Church in Pella Opening, Wisconsin. They have the strangest names for towns up there in Wisconsin. We'll talk about role-playing games. He made a presentation at last month's Higher Things Youth Conference titled Role Playing at Reality. Sunday night on the program, tune in. We've got an interesting conversation on the Lord's Prayer with Pastor Peter Bender of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. That's live Sunday night from 10 to 11 on 91.5 FM here in St. Louis. When we come back, we'll talk about Christianity at the university.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.